The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 685. It's the 16th of January, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Rod McIlree, CEO of Finnhouse Mining, ticker there is FAM, and Rod provides an update regarding the Pacific exploration and metallurgical test work released this morning. Also on the podcast, Richard Clemmy, Managing Director of Tertiary Minerals, TYM, discusses progress at the company, including acquisition opportunities. Also, it's a Monday, so Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talks about SDX Energy. Plus, today's suggested one for your watchlist is Motive Bio. Now, this is an audio summary of my blog post from the weekend, which I like to do every now and again. But by all means, if you know of a company that you think should be on someone's watchlist, then please click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. You'll see one of my posts there. Just scroll down and you will see a little link there, a question that says, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watchlist? Then click here, fill in the form, and I could be featuring it on a future podcast. Now, let me express as clearly as I can, everything here in this podcast is just information. Nothing is investment advice. I also have, by the way, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, plus the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Rod McIlree, CEO of Finnhouse Mining. That's FAM ticker. Good morning, Rod. You all right?
Yeah, morning, Justin. Happy New Year. Good to be back with you.
Yes, it is a good start of the year. Pretty much the markets look quite good. I mean, you've had an update today and you're up a tiny bit there in the share price, which is looking good. We'll get into that in a bit. But as always, Rod, for people not aware of what you do there at Finnhouse, can you explain what you're all about, please?
Okay. Well, I guess just stepping back from the project level and giving you a sort of a holistic view of the company. We're focused in Greenland. Obviously, we see Greenland as a jurisdiction that offers a sensible return on your exploration dollar. It's a very stable jurisdiction. And with the climate change that's underway up there at the moment, it is a place where significant occurrences of metal can be discovered fairly easily. So we've been up in Greenland for 12 years now, or the best part of 12 years. And we're focused on a titanium project, a heavy mineral sands project in the northwest part of Greenland. Displays characteristics that suggest it could be one of, if not the highest grade heavy mineral occurrence in the world. So we've spent 18 months on that now. And as your listeners probably are aware, we you and I have spoken on this on a number of occasions.
Yeah, that's a heck of a, you know, it's almost a statement there, though, isn't it? One of the biggest in the world. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly one of the highest grade. I think that the resource, and this comes back to the sort of the reiteration of the guidance in today's RNS regarding the resource that we hope to have out. The work that we've done over the last 2 years really does sort of culminate with what will be the maiden resource calculation conducted by SRK. We're just sort of going through the final QAQC. The analytical work's still underway, but should be shortly finished. And that will all sort of, as I said, culminate in a resource statement, the maiden resource statement for Pitofi, late February, very early March. And I think it's in that that people will understand just what this project actually represents. I think it's going to be a very positive outcome. I think that it'll stand us in good stead with respect to the peers within the sector.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so today you've done a Pacific exploration and a metallurgical test work update release. Take us through some of the detail here, Rod.
Sure. Well, look, it's a fairly simple process. What we're really angling towards here is twofold. Firstly, we're just trying to nail down the chemistry of the ilmenite that occurs at Pitofic, and that includes the trace element characteristics. The second part of the overall process here on the metallurgy is the process design and the pilot plant work that will shortly start with IHC Robbins in Queensland. So both of those are parallel but sort of complementary work programs, all aimed at bringing production into 2018 at Pitofic. The analytical work at the moment is designed to facilitate offtake conversations that we hope to sort of start in earnest in the next sort of 3 months, 3 to 6 months. We, as outlined in the RNS, we've identified our target markets, and we're shortly going to start the process of working towards putting in place the agreements that will facilitate the 2018 production.
Okay, go on, sorry.
No, I was just going to say the exploration update was really just sort of around that, the resource and the work that's being done by SGS and SRK with respect to the analysis and the output of that resource. You know, that the company still confirms that at the end of February, early March, that shareholders should sort of keep an eye on that, because that's when we expect it to be out.
Okay, all right. And you said that the feasibility study is currently underway. So when is that expected to be finalised?
Yeah, look, that's a core part of the mining licence application. We are working through that as we speak. Obviously, each one of these components that we've put in place over the last sort of 12 months is a part of that. The environmental, the social, it's it all feeds into it. The mining study is something that is next to start, and that's a function of the pilot plant and the actual metallurgical and the offtake inputs. So, yeah, look, we're still on track for lodging a mining license this year. The bulk sample that we intend to take out this year will be under our exploration license. So we've got a lot of time to make sure that that gets through the system in a timely manner for 2018 startup.
Yeah, and do you have a ballpark figure of what, I mean, obviously it's a long shot here, but do you have a ballpark figure of what this, you know, this project could be worth to Finast?
I mean, it's always tricky, and you sort of live or die by these kinds of numbers, Justin. But look, I think that rather than do that now, I think it'd be better for everyone involved if we did that with the benefit of the resource statement when that comes out, because I think it's difficult to value these kinds of projects until you have some sort of type of independent sort of analysis as to the content and the grade of your ore body. But certainly once we have that, I think, and this is one thing that has kind of made valuing Finast slightly subjective, is that we've sort of been running all of our economic work programs without having a resource out. And that's largely been a function of the management decision to undergo that strategy. We feel confident that the resource will support all of our work programs that we've started in parallel with that resource, and that's why we did it like that. I think when that resource comes out, it'll give everyone, from the analyst to the sector to the peer to the private investor, the ability to look more closely at what the value of this particular project actually is. So, you know, it's not long to wait, another month or something, but... look, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah. And so far, I mean, of everything you've looked at and the tests you've got back, are you very happy with the way the project is going there?
Yeah, look, I mean, we made some educated guesses at the start of this whole process when we first sort of sought to, you know, move this project forward. They were sort of based on the geological evolution of the area and the mineral and the concentration process. I think, if anything, we've been slightly surprised by the very low levels of trace element and the sort of deleterious elements, the lack of radioactivity in the material. Certainly we knew that the ore body itself could well be a very high grade and quite expansive. I think we've been pleasantly surprised by the detailed chemistry the ilmenite. Certainly in my mind, and this is my opinion, but certainly in my mind, I think that this is one of the better types of ilmenites for the sulfate process that is available on the market at the moment. So
yeah.
That's what's driving our thought processes at the moment, and will continue into the future.
Yeah. Have you any plans to visit Greenland? I look at the moment, it's minus 11 in Greenland at the moment.
Greenland's got a kind of a variable temperature range. Obviously, at the height of summer last year, the capital, for the first time ever, had temperatures that were sort of punching up into the sort of high 20s and the 30s.
Wow.
Which is really unheard of. And that's a function of, you know, why we feel Greenland is one of these positive places to work, is because literally the snow is melting up there. But, yeah, no, we're back this year. We've got a bulk sample to take out. That's going to facilitate the off-take conversations that, you know, our marketing research has sort of identified several key markets that we need to focus on. So we need a bulk sample for those markets, and we hope to have all those sort of offtakes certainly underway with respect to the ultimate sort of agreements in the next sort of 2 to 3 months, but certainly by mid-year we hope to have these things quite advanced.
Yeah, well, hopefully the temps should be in the positives then, maybe. All right, so, Ron, every day in the podcast, I highlight the top 5 most followed companies on Vox. Yeah. So for anyone not following you right now, could you give them 3 reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yeah, look, I think the 3 upcoming events are quite obvious to anyone that's sort of been following the story for a while. It's the resource. It's going to set us with respect to our peer group. I think that's going to be a very positive event. I think the metallurgical developments and that engineering and process design, the mining licenses all sort of coming together quite nicely. We've got a lot of news flow that's going to flow from those 2 aspects. And secondly, we've got the high level project, the offtake, and getting those sort of fundamental parts of the operation in place. One more point, I guess, is the continued development of the Havana projects that we concluded the acquisition of over Christmas. So, look, I think we're in a good spot to sort of launch into 2017 from a news flow, from a results-driven perspective. And, I think shareholders or interested parties should definitely keep this on their watch list.
Marvellous, Rod. Good to chat to you and look forward to speaking to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks, Justin. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Clemmy, Managing Director of Tertiary Minerals. That's TYM ticker. Richard, thank you for coming back on.
Thank you for having me back on the show, Justin.
You're always welcome. It's been a while, but you're always welcome. And, I mean, Alan Green's been on a few times and mentioned you. But for people who are not aware of what you do, Richard, can you explain what Tertiary Minerals is all about, please?
Tertiary Minerals, AIM listed. We are building a strategic position in the fluorspar sector. So our aims are to become a reliable long-term supplier of fluorspar to the world markets, and also be revenue generating in the near term. For those of you who don't know what fluorspar is, it's a critical raw material. It's classed as a critical mineral by the European Commission and as a strategic mineral in the US. It's largely irreplaceable due to its properties. And it's used for a whole host of industrial applications for energy reduction, for example, in aluminium fluoride, which goes into making aluminium, and also for the new generation of environmentally friendly refrigerant gases. We have 3 strategically placed projects, all 100% owned, 2 in Europe, 1 in Sweden, in Storuman project, 1 in Norway, that's the Lassedalen project, and a large one, which is our newest project, out in Nevada in the USA.
Okay, and where are you with these projects, which I know we go into the RNS you released recently, but at what stage in development are you of these projects?
Okay, so Sweden's our most advanced project. So back in 2014, we submitted a mine permit application, and we got approval of a 25-year mine permit back in February last year. Unfortunately, we've had some delays with that permit. It's gone into appeal, and then there's been a change in case law in Sweden. Our case has been referred back to the mining inspectorate for reassessment, but we're confident that will get approved. We've done a very solid application and solid environmental impact assessment on that. And then MB project is our largest project. We've done 4 phases of drilling on that. We've done maiden and JORC upgrade on that, and we're just currently working through the economic evaluation under the scoping study. And the Lassedalen project in Norway, we've taken that right through to scoping study. But at the moment, that is on hold while we progress the Sweden project in Europe.
Okay, all right, good stuff. And fluorspar, you know, I know a lot of commodities have gone through a tough period over the last few years. What's the pricing like of fluorspar at the moment?
Yeah, so current pricing is about $250 to $270 a tonne. Just to put that in some kind of context in terms of our Jort resources, we've got defined now 13.1 million tonnes in the ground defined across the three projects. So that gives you a feel of the value of the mineral in the ground compared with our current market cap.
Yeah, which is I'm just looking just below 2.5 million, isn't it, at the moment?
That's right, absolutely, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So you released an RNS out last on the 12th of January last week, talking about acquisition opportunities. Can you just go through the detail of this, please, Richard?
Yes. So we continue on the path of developing the fluorspar projects. That continues to be the key focus for the company. But what we've recognised is that it will be an advantage to get into near-term revenue and cash flow as soon as possible, and that will be complementary to the development of the fluorspar projects. So we've made a decision to evaluate a number of near-term cash flow revenue companies. We're going through that process at the moment, we see this, A, adding value to the business, B, making the business more sustainable, and then C, also, helping the development of the flagship fluorspar projects.
Yeah, so obviously, you said, you are evaluating these, and so you can't reveal too much about them, but are they involved in fluorspar? Are they in this country? Can you reveal any more?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to put any more information out because we are bound by
non-disclosures, yes,
with the companies we're dealing with. Mm. But it's fair to say that we're looking at projects which fit our internal expertise as the management team, and also realistic in terms of the current size of the company as well.
Yeah, and if all goes to plan on one of these projects, when do you hope to see some revenue generation from them?
Again, it's a difficult one to answer, but we are in discussions now. In fact, I presented at the Proactive Investor Forum on Thursday evening, and so I had to shoot back up up north on Friday morning because I had a meeting with one of the companies that we're in discussions with.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah. So it's ongoing. You're right in the middle of the of it there. So All right. So every day, Richard, on the podcast, I do highlight the top five most followed companies on the podcast over the last 24 hours. So someone who's not following you now, could you give us three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please? And just a reminder, TYM is a ticker.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we're the only UK-listed company with exposure to this critical mineral fluorspar. We've got 13.1 million tonnes across our three flagship projects. The current price of fluorspar is $250 to $270 a tonne. So that gives you a feel for the potential value of the company. In fact, our broker research suggests that we are undervalued. We've got SP Angel and Beaufort at 10.6p and 9p in terms of target share price. We've recently purchased we've signed a heads of terms with Norsk Hydro to purchase the mine assets at the Norwegian project, which would add further value to the company. And then we are evaluating the near-term cash flow companies, which we've announced recently, which will give us an opportunity to be revenue generating in the near term.
Yes, wow. I mentioned those price targets. Can you repeat that again?
So we've got a SP Angel. Latest price target is 10.6p, and Beaufort Securities there at 9p per share.
Wow. Taking into account right now, look at the share price, it's 0.875. So
that's right.
A 10. If it comes true, their target, that's a 10 bagger there.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Richard, that's very interesting. Thank you very much. And listen, don't be a stranger next time. Come back on the podcast, and I look forward to chatting to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, Justin, thank you very much for having me on the show today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority blogger, writer, podcaster, Malky. Good morning, Malky. You all right, fella?
Yeah. Good morning, Justin. I'm extremely well. Thank you very much.
Marvellous, fella. So what are we looking at today? What company are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at SDX Energy. This is a company that I've talked about before, and I know that there are quite a lot of people in your podcasting universe that have mentioned it as well. And last week they had to rush out a statement, hastily prepared statement, as I said, about what's going on. So I thought I might just run through that for you.
Yes. So what is going on? Because we what was the announcement last week? What was it concerning the? Well, the operating quarter last November. So what was the speculation that had rushed out? What was the problem here?
Right, well, no problem. I mean, it's good news rather than bad news. I mean, I think in the statement it said that the company had noticed speculation concerning potential acquisition and material equity raise, and they were clearly able to note that because it was all over Twitter and all sorts of places. And I thought that it was... pretty good of them to rush something out, because clearly they are in the process of doing something. And it turns out, from what they said in the statement, that they have entered into a non-binding agreement with Circle Oil to acquire their Egyptian and Moroccan assets, subject to an equity raise. And I think I put in the blog something like, you know, clearly they're in the middle of a roadshow, and someone who had been made an insider didn't understand that you are an insider and leaked the information, because since this looks like a pretty good deal. I have seen people looking at Circle since it got into financial difficulties over 6 months ago, and this looks the best of all. Circle were in trouble because they had two lines of substantial debt. One from the Q80s and one from the World Bank, and those are difficult to make it possible to acquire SDX, because neither of those, I don't think, were prepared to take too few cents in the dollar for their debts. But it looks like Paul Welsh and the guys at SDX have potentially, if it gets away, done a particularly good deal. And the reason for that is that both these assets look like a pretty good fit with SDX. Now, the onshore Morocco assets in general have had a pretty good year. You'll remember that Sound has done very well with the Tadji reservoir, looking like it might extend through Algeria into Morocco, and they're continuing to test with that. And there's activity down at Gulf Sands with John Bell, recently of Tethys, taking over there. So there's clearly things happening in Morocco which will mean that SDX have got a ticket to this particular party, which I like quite a lot. The other thing, of course, is all about Egypt. And of course, you know, Circle have an asset which is they share with SDX, so they will know exactly what that's worth. And also SDX have got... they've got a carried well at the moment, and they've got the Delta stuff, which looks very exciting indeed. If the institutions are supportive on this raid, which I think they are, and I keep a very close eye on the institutions, you know, as well as the retail, I think, are very keen for this to happen. You know, my guess is that... assuming that nothing goes wrong in the next day or two, I would expect the announcement quite soon. I have to say that the other bit of the leak is that, and I have said nothing myself, is that SDX Energy is clearly on the shortest of all shortlists, Justin, be on the new bucket list that will be announced in a couple of weeks' time. And I'm rather, in a way, that makes me rather happy that the shares have come down from their original peak, so that... I get a more realistic entry price. But, you know, people have been looking for companies to do deals in this marketplace in the last couple of years. SDX Energy have clearly, having done their raise last year and coming to the market, put the company together. They've got an aggressive management who are doing pretty well and have decided to plant their feet well and truly into the African sand. And I would give them significant benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? 'Cause, you know, this company obviously has potential there, and it rose strongly a few weeks back from that 32.5 pence level up to sort of 42.5 pence. Then on this speculation, it's come back. And we all know, you know, people, equity investors, everyone hates a bit of uncertainty. Until clarity comes through, then you could suggest, you know, I'm not certain, people do your own research here, but you could suggest, you know, take advantage of this uncertainty, because this is a bit of a weakness. And who's to say, once it's done, the deal's done, it may continue the rise, you know?
I'm sure it will. I mean, don't forget, shares were only, you know, low 20s only a few months ago. So the run-up, you know, not quite double the shares. But it did make them look particularly good. And therefore, you know, in terms of what they've done, I'm, you know, sort of delighted that they might be in a position where they've, how you say, potentially got a substantial equity raise. And they're in a position where institutions as well as retail funders will back them. And of course, that's the good thing about an equity raise, is, you know, the shares have come down a bit on all the gossip that you were just talking about, and then you get a discount for the raise.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, I would have had a guess that given that shares have come down, I don't think that discount would be very big. It, you know, if anything, it might be there and thereabouts, depending on the current share price.
Yeah, exactly. So we are SDX, worth keeping an eye on them, because they're doing the business by the looks of it, and going forward. Lovely, Malky. Speak next week, fella.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Justin. Thank you very much.
Okay, today's suggested one for your watch list is Motive Bio, MTFB. Now, this is an audio summary of my blog post that went out on the weekend. By all means, you can subscribe to my blog. Just visit the page here, one of my posts on Vox Markets, and you click the link there, fill in your email address, and you can subscribe, get it straight to your inbox. But this is for people that don't subscribe to that, listen to the podcast, because, you know, if you did a Venn diagram, they would overlap, but it wouldn't be fully overlapped. You know, there are people who listen to the podcast, don't read the blog, and vice versa. So this is for you people, podcast listeners only, and subscribers, if you want an audience. Anyway, let me just get on here, okay? What does the company do? Motive Bio is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company which specializes in developing novel antibiotics designed to be effective against serious and life-threatening infections caused by multi-drug resistance bacteria. Ilkaprim is its lead drug. Now, the Chief Medical Officer of England, Professor Dame Sally Davis, on the antibiotic issue, has likened it to an apocalypse. If drugs to combat multi-drug resistance bacteria aren't found, a simple cut to your finger could leave you fighting for your life in about 5, 10 years' time. That's how bad it's going to get. So, you know, the industry are behind this, and governments are behind this as well. How many shares does the company have an issue? 195 million. What's the current price and market cap? Current price today, 24.75 pence. Market cap, 48 million. What's revenue and profit loss the company generate? They're in clinical trials. There's no revenues yet. In the interims, for the 6 months ended the 30th of June 2016, they lost $7.6 million before tax. Of course, a lot of that is for clinical trials. How much cash or debt does the company have? They've just raised $25 million via placing. They're also listed now on the NASDAQ. In the interim 6 months of June, they showed a $3.8 million of interest-bearing loans and borrowings in their current liabilities. And there's three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, share price is close to an all-time low. It hit 21 pence on the 1st of December due to the delay in the NASDAQ listing and funding for their Phase 3 clinical trials. These issues have now been dealt with. They've raised the money. They're now on NASDAQ. Number two, Motive Bio have two peers also listed on the NASDAQ who, in terms of clinical trials, are just ahead of them. Paratek Pharmaceuticals, that's PRTK, who will also be reporting top-line data from their Phase 3 trials during the second quarter of the year, like Motive Bio, currently have a market cap of $350 million. Acagen, AKAO, whose current market cap is $677 million, announced positive data readout on Phase 3 trials in December 2016. Reason 3, Motive Bio are now in phase 3, the final phase of their clinical trials. This trial is split into two parts, Revive 1, Revive 2. The first set of results from Revive 1 will be released in quarter 2 this year, so not far off. If these are positive, the share price should start to head north at a rapid pace. The data from Revive 2 will be released this year. Of course, that's just conjecture on my behalf. But it looks like, compared to the two companies, that's what's happened to them. So it's a good time now to do some research on Motive Bio. And like I say, do your own due diligence. All right, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, Gunsind, G-U-N. Now they're an investment company, Gunsind, and they hold shares in Zenith Energy, which has done very well of late. But it hasn't really been reflected in Gunsind's share price. That's why the interest is there. I did mention on the weekend podcast, I did take some of those. A little bit of a punt there. At four, the most followed company is Asia Met Resources, ARS. At three, Motive Bio, MTFB. At two, Zenith Energy, ZEN. And at one, it's URU Metals, ticker URU, most followed company on the Vox Markets platform in the last 24 hours. Okay, top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning were, at five, MySquare, MYSQ, registered users exceed 7.5 million. At four, Boss Global Holdings, patents update. At three, Joint Threes, EVRH Holdings, exercise of warrants and issued shares. At three again, also, Joint, with Keras Resources, that's KRS, tenement applications in the Warrawoona Gold District. And at three as well, Metal Tiger, Directorate Change. At two, the most liked RNS, is Independent Oil and Gas, IOG Acquisition, and of SNS Pipeline and Skipper Update. And number one, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets platform this morning was from Hurricane Energy, HUR. That's a Halifax 205-23-8 well spud. And hopefully, I'll be having one of the guys from Hurricane on the podcast either tomorrow or the day after. And that's it for the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.